Let's see if I got this thing on, sound like it is. I always afford this opportunity when it comes given to me. Stand here and don't take it lightly. I know. I want to follow up with Brother Dave in his prayer. Thanks for praying for Bryce. Deborah does get an early Mother's Day present. Bryce is coming home tomorrow. We were planning. I took off work to be able to. I was going to be driving up there. Me and Deb tomorrow morning. We was going to leave about 5:30, so we could be there around noon. They're having the commencement service tomorrow there at the college, and they're required to stay for it. And then they have final dorm check things that happen. So about 1:30 or so, he's supposed to be, free up there. But we were planning to be there to be, because it took both of us to get him there, our cars, and he has extra stuff he's gotten. But he just insists he got help from some friends to clear out his trunk. He does have a big trunk. His car does have a big trunk. He got this cabinet in there and put stuff and stuff everywhere. And he says he can make it. He's telling us that he don't want us to drive down there, that he's going to have it all in the car. So I appreciate him. He was concerned about us of just driving up there, to get him and get him back. But it wouldn't have been no problem. But anyway, be praying for him. He'll be back for the summer, and he's had a good freshman year. So thank you for your prayers. He really has. His grades have been good. He was so concerned about English and some stuff, and the Lord has blessed him, and just given him a real heart for the ministry. He's really grown in him, I'm just so thankful to the Lord. We're looking forward to having him back. For the summer we are, me and Deb. So thank you for your prayers and the church, the support, and just being behind over us. Thank you so much. Well, if you have your Bibles, if you would, with me now, if you'd join me in 2 Kings, 2 Kings chapter 6. We'll start there and read a couple of verses, and we'll go to chapter 7. But 2 Kings chapter 6, the title, I like to get little titles, the message and stuff. The title I would give of this would be, "We Do Not Well, We Must Go Tell." We do not well, we just must go tell. All right, if you got the place found there, we'll read here in 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 24. "And it came to pass after this that Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, gathered all of his host, and he went up and besieged Samaria. And there was a great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it." Then if you would go to chapter 7, we go to chapter 7 and we begin in verse 3. In chapter 7, it says there, "And there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate. And they said one to another, 'Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we will die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall unto the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die.'" We'll read on just a second here, but the Bible's telling us, of course, about a besiege that's happening from Syria here against this town in Samaria and Judah there, and they've got it surrounded and just keeping food from going into the city and things and supplies and stuff. Well, the Bible tells about these four leprous men. Four leprous men here are sitting, here at the gate of the city. And that disease of leprosy in the Bible time, it was a very big disease that was throughout the Bible events. We read about much about it, kind of like cancer events are today. Leprosy, was the big news, seems like, in the times then. And these four leprous guys were saying, "Hey, if we go into the city trying to find food and trying to get something to survive to, it's already, the people in the city already can't get food, and they're sure not going to help us. Well, you already were an outcast of our leprosy, and if we go in the city and seeking and trying to find some help, then we're not going to get any." And then they say, "Well, if we just sit still here, if we just sit here and just hope for something to happen," they're saying, "Hey, that's not going to be any good either. Just to sit here, we're going to die doing that." So they come to this, they say, "Hey, let's just go to the camp of Syria, the enemy camp or the camp surrounding. Let's just go. We can just go to that camp, and maybe they'll just take us prisoner or take us captive, to go into them and sustain us, keep us alive or whatever." And they said, the worst that can happen is they can just kill us. And that's, we're going to die either way, right? You know, that's what they were saying there. Well, they go on and they head to the camp of the Syrians. And it says in verse 5, and they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots, and a noise of horses, and a noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and they fled in the twilight. They left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and they fled for their life. Man, what an event's happening here. We read about the Lord that, you know, God now has, you know, unknown, of course, to these leper men that are heading that way, God has put into motion a plan, or God has placed into play here. He caused the Syrian army that's all camped out there to hear sounds of a great army, you know, just falling in, approaching them, coming at them, horses and chariots and a noise of a great army. And they evidently, it was very, I mean, you think Hollywood can make a production, maybe. God beat that here, you know. I mean, it would definitely beat that, didn't he? They put on a thing that these soldiers, this whole army, it had to be that they felt like it was that they were on them right there, and they had to drop everything. They had to jump from their tents. They didn't gather nothing. They left their horses. They left their animals. They left their food, you know, and they just took off. They just fled. They said they just fled, and they were gone. Well, these lepers now coming up. Here we're going to get to them coming up to the outer part of the camp, and I'm sure they're kind of slowly watching, waiting to be, you know, pounced on by the outer guards, or waiting to be taken captive. And it says there, and when the lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink, and carried then silver and gold and raiment, and they went and hid it. And they came again and entered into another tent. And they carried thence also, and they went and they hid it. Man, now they've coming in now to this, you know, to this camp, the Syrians, and no armies there. Everything's left intact of the tent, the, you know, raiments and silver, food's even cooking out around the campsite, everything they could want. And man, they're saying, well, look at this, right? But then look what happens to them. And something happens to them here. It says, then they said one to another, we do not well. This day is a day of good tidings. And if we hold our peace, if we tarry till morning and light, some mischief will come upon us. Now therefore come, that we may go and tell the king's household. So these four lepers, they said, hey, you know, we're not doing too good here. You know, we have come in the midst of some good news. Great news. You know, we have came into situation. We know now that our great God, the God above, has provided a great, great victory at hand. The Syrian army is gone, and now we know this. That the camp is empty. Everything's available to everybody. And they said, man, if we just stay this news to ourselves, you know, if we just hide this stuff and keep this to ourselves, even one night, even through the night. They said, hey, you know, that is not going to be good. That is not going to be good. They said, we must go tell. We must go tell the news that's happened. Well, we're about to see here. You're going to see, immediately when they decide to go tell, which is good. They go tell. But when they go tell, would you pick up on here, they're not going to be believed at first. I mean, they're not going to be counted for what they're saying to be as being accurate and stuff. But look what it says. It says, so they came in to the porter of the city, and they told them, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of a man, but horses tied and asses tied in the tents as they were. And he called, and he called the porters, and they told it to the king's house within. And the king arose in the night, and he said unto his servants, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry. Therefore they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get them into the city. So now the king of Israel in here, or the king here in Samaria in this town, he's telling the porters here, I don't know about this news, I don't know about this news that's been brought to us. That he's saying, hey, let me tell you what's going on here is these Syrians, that they don't want to do the long wait. They don't want to just wait this long old besiege and this long old time. They want to trick us out of the city. They're making it look like they're not there, but they're hiding out in the fields. They're hiding themselves in the trees or whatever. And when we come out of the city and, to head to that camp, they're just going to pounce on us or ambush us, or whatever it be called. And so this is how the king here is taking this news. And then one of the servants in verse 13 answered and said, let some take, I pray thee, 5 of the horses that remaineth. Man, it's always sad when I read that. Think about it. He said, 5 of the horses that remaineth. That means they've already killed all of the horses, or already had to eat them, or whatever, for the food. Such a famine is so great. Let us take 5, that still remain. And he said, we left in the city. Behold, they are all of the multitude of Israel that are left in it. Behold, I say, that are even at all the multitude of Israelites that are consumed. He's talking about, that privacy is kind of just talking about the great misery, the great how to consume with the famine, how the whole city is at its knees, okay? And then he goes on and says, let us send and see. So they took therefore 2 chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of the Syrians, saying, go and see. And they went after them into Jordan, and lo, all the way was full of garments and vessels which the Syrians had cast away in their haste. And the messengers returned and told to the king. And then it says, and the people went out and spoiled the tent of the Syrians. So you see, he sent them out, and they went and found the report to be true. They went to find, they found out that all along the way to the Jordan River, there was just stuff, clothes and spears and just a fleeing army, just stuff cast to the side. Think about it. It didn't just, evidently, God didn't just have them right there thinking that they're being besieged at their camp. He had them feared all the way running. I mean, they were being chased. They were being pushed out of the countryside. God, he don't do anything halfway is what I mean. My God, he took them and fled them, and they were still dropping off stuff. They were fleeing further as they left, as they got away from there. And that's what they saw. That's what they saw as they went. And so of course the king is told this news about that, and then the people get to go, and they get what God has provided. When I see that, when I read that story in Kings, and it's a true event, it happened. It's not a Maple Leaf story. It's a true event of happening. But it's always there for our learning, for understanding. And I think about us today, 2023, in Slate and stuff. We have the good news. We really do. We have the best news of all, don't we? We really do. Like Brother David was saying, it is the problem of the nation. The spiritual problem is, that is it. The problem is the heart, of the spirit of our heart. I mean, and I really do believe that. You've got all kind of issues on either side that can look at. You've got all kind of problems and greed and I don't know the words can be used. But a big problem, I think, is Christian, me and others. But just having the best news of all to share and not sharing it in just a passionate way. Not getting it out and sharing it. I can remember a time in my life, in years past, when I did share it in a much more passionate way. Visiting out, knocking, handing out, witnessing to others, and doing. I mean, I can remember a time in my life when I'd done a much more passionate sharing of the good news that's there, and it's just a black light on me, stuff that we have the best news of all. Is this good news, the gospel news about our Lord. We just recently, the Lord opened up doors. I'm so glad our preacher was a preacher to look at that opportunity. But we've been able to go now for about 6 weeks, 5 or 6 weeks to Stephen F. Austin Elementary School here in Slayton, and they've opened up the doors to where we have a Good News Bible Club. It's a club that happens from 3:30 to 4:30 there in the gym at the school. And for my years in the children ministry, I've been involved in it for many, many years. But my main involvement was like first grade through sixth would be my main big involvement. You know, the first graders in grade school up through sixth grade. And then, of course, I've had blessings of working in other parts of the ministry there. But that's been my main thing. And then I know my wife was real instrumental in helping in the younger, the 4 and 5 year olds in the age groups of the churches. But I hadn't personally been so connected in there. And just these 5 weeks, I've gotten involved more in sharing in this Good News Club about to these kids. And just seeing how the gospel message, how it's so relevant for the 4-year-old as it is to the grade school, and you get on any age, the gospel has there's no barrier to it. I'm seeing more than ever doing it now that it has such a real, God made it in such a real way. It has it's able to be understood, you know, and because God made it so plain and He laid it out so precise and so careful and so perfect that it's understandable. You know, if presented, it's understandable to that 3, to that 4-year-old, to that 5-year-old, and then you get up to the 86 and the 90-year-old that is hard and maybe had a hardened time throughout their life denial, but the same message is what makes the difference in that life. It makes the difference in that young heart, just eager to learn, wanting to learn, and what better thing to learn than about the Bible and sing about it, you know, seeking and wanting to know and wanting to learn. And then seeing to be able to be fed the good news, the gospel news. And then you get through it's so much harder as you get into the older years for the gospel to make its penetration because of the hardness of the human heart. But the gospel message itself, it never changes across the whole span of it, you know. What great message. And we have that message. And like I said, I've been more encouraged and more enthused in my heart of this opportunity of going to the school like this. And we have the Lord blessed with some such great servants here at Bible Baptist Church, and like I say, our preacher, the opportunity given there and stuff. But just it's opened up more to me to see that we must go tell the news and share the news, the gospel news, with a greater passion than ever before. I'm looking forward to Bryce was he was like 4 and 5, 6 years old when I was heavily involved on a bus man of knocking the doors and stuff and things and stuff, and he with me as that young little boy, right? Those years separated away, and stayed heavily involved. And I love all churches heavily involved. I'm not trying to come across any negative there. I don't mean that, Bryce is talking to me. He's talking to me now about, "Oh, Dad, I'm looking forward. Get back. We got to go knock some doors. You know, we got to go invite those to come to church. We got to go hand out and have the flyer." And I'm thinking, man, this is awesome. I'm gonna have a chance from years later now to be being like he was beside me. I get to be beside him. You know, I get to be beside, you know, like beside him, and him being the main lead to me or whatever to do and to go and to tell, you know. And that's what I'm seeing when I'm reading tonight about this story in 2 Kings. These lepers had good news to tell. They realized it. They said, "We got to go tell it." They weren't believed right away, and we won't either be believed. You won't be believed. I mean, God knows that. I mean, the good news will be shunned, and it'll be ridiculed sometimes, and it'll be, you know, made a, like it's not the real answer to by people. I mean, it just will be because of us, because of the time we live. And these lepers, they weren't taken and believed at first, but the message was true, wasn't it? The message was true. The hope that the people needed, the food, everything was provided for them. It was there. They had to get up and go take it, though. They had to get up and go get, you know. They couldn't just wait back and say, "Drop it down," or whatever. They had to go get. And that's the main encouragement to me, and I'm is that we had the best news of all, and we just need to realize that we do. The best news of all is just the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and his message, the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord, just the message that he offers. We do not well unless we go tell, right?
All right. Thanks, Brother Stacy. Let's all stand. We'll be dismissed. Ladies, don't forget Mother's Day brunch, 11 o'clock on Saturday. If you have any pictures yet that you would like to give to Tricia,